July 19, 2023, this program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Imam Dr. Miraj Speaks Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Assalamu alaikum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Zay. My topic this evening is the Ramadan conversation, The Spirit Never Dies, lecturer, Imam Waraf Deen Muhammad. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradio.com, and you'll be able to listen to the ones that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam mubarak. What makes religious teachings attractive and exciting for long periods of time? When Jesus left, he said, I am gone, but I'll be with you always. So he's gone and he is still present at the same time. I'm gone as a performer of my task or my work or my mission, but I left my work with you. And my work satisfies your soul and needs to have life and to have it more abundantly. So I am gone, but I left you eating and I left you drinking. And this is something to remember. It's the last one as a performance for me. But it's something that I don't want you to forget. So repeat this over and over in remembrance of me. Isn't that beautiful? Especially when you know that me means the will of God for the people, for the world, and the spirit. So when we see these meanings in their content, these terms in their content, the meaning becomes richer, bigger, and it touches on other things, and it spreads its influence in its world environment. A word environment, pardon me. It is touching other words with its influence and making those words have bigger meaning. So they are giving them more expression. They are giving the old term more expression. Brother Imam, this subject that you have just taken last month on cosmological arguments, and the Abrahamic faith, Muslims, Christians, and Jews. Can we find that in what you are telling us right now? Exactly. What I am doing is addressing the scripture reasoning, not just the communication, but what is the reasoning supporting this communication and giving this communication a new reality and sending it to its destiny that God wants it to go to. So what's doing that? It is the line of logic that started with the need for man to get help from God, and then he represents that logic, as Allah says in the Quran, for us, all the way to its conclusion. So the logic has a conclusion. The logic has a destiny. It has an aim. It has a purpose. It has a conclusion. It's to stop somewhere. So this is spiritual reasoning. And just like that water that comes from the mountain and makes a river, and it isn't satisfied until it gets in the big, big body, it wants to be in the biggest body where it will be represented universally and when it will be in the universal nature, not in your concept of what is the soul and what is the human spirituality and sensitivity, but in that definition that everybody will recognize right away and say, yes, that's what I feel. Brother Imam, all that we see in the world with our physical eyes is deception, is gurur, and it means deception. How come it's this deception? Because the soul is transparent, invisible. Human spirituality, light, is transparent, invisible, but that's our essential life. So we are in this environment so that we can support and express that light. So we are not in this environment to become this environment. No. The environment is a means for us finding ourselves and our true nature and expressing it, and expressing it in language that will come to the mind and leave a picture or an imprint, a concept. How are you going to live, leave a concept when you don't have a concept? So the world is a reflector, not just the water, but the whole world is nothing but a reflector. It reflects what I am. It reflects my life. It reflects what I want to do with my life. It reflects my conscience of my life, because it puts everything in a sea, a universal sea, and those things evolve and evolve and evolve and evolve, and they weren't satisfied to be at rest until they connected with each other, and they are all called could rest. Do we think that the solar system was always with the other systems going along in a universal system? No. That's not how they started. According to scripture, according to science, they started in chorus. They were in chorus. The scriptural language is they were in violent commotion. They were restless. The material bodies was restless. The different forms, smoke, fire, wind, and storm, all that was part of the beginning as imagined by scientists and also by the thinkers in Quran or in scripture. And it says in the heavens were as dukan, where as smoke is restless, isn't it? It chokes, but its nature should be at rest. It's going to slow down. It can't stay that way, always. So the whole universe began for us in religion. And they say religion and science are coming together. And when we understand it, science says that the same thing, mythology, myth says the same thing, that the creation started from restlessness and separation. Then it started to connect with that it is to connect with. As more and more matter connected, bodies and systems, bodies holding body in a discipline from lack of our solar system. So this same thing has to take place in man's evolution. It's evolution for the community life that will support him and make him comfortable. He can rest there. He found a place where he can rest. I'm going to settle here, and I can establish my life here, not only for me, but for my children too. In order to have that destiny, he has to connect. He's an individual. He's got to connect with other individuals. He is a family, and the family has to connect with other families. He is a nation. Nations have to connect with other nations. That's the way we are right now. It symbolizes in the term Kaaba. So you go there and a simple house represents the home of all mankind. It's the home that gives us a focus for the whole community of human beings, mankind. The focus is that the house that represents all people, how can it represent all people? Because it's the house under God built by a man and his son, Abraham, and his son, Abraham the father, Ishmael the son. Abraham the leader, Ishmael the follower. It was built by the man and his son. And the man is called a leader for all nations, all fathers of all people. So the man symbolizes, like Adam symbolizes, in unity or the community of people, not under nationality, not under anything else, but people, period, it says. The first of the house built for all people, Awal al-Bayt, the first of the houses, Bunyan, built Linnat for all people. Bunyan Linnat, built for all people. So the concept of a house that was built to house everybody is the understanding that we should have when we are looking at the house, or praying towards that house, or going to visit that house during the pilgrimage. That's what we should be aware of, that God wants us to see, that he wants us to come to a perception of a home that is the home of everybody, not one people, but everybody. To reach that destination, you have to form a connection. That's what Kaaba means, making connections and starting in the foot. The first connection is the ankle that connects the foot to the leg. That's the first connection. In your structure, it says Bunyan. Bunyan means constructing, making a construction. So the first connection in that construction is the ankle that connects the foot to the leg. The bottom of the leg, but it's the leg. The leg starts there. Some people say the leg is the foot and everything. But when you lose your foot, you don't say you lost your leg. You say you lost your foot. They all go together. But the foot is a distant construction in itself. It doesn't have the same parts and the same construction. So that is the leg. So there is one pattern in the construction, and that the foot and the leg is supported by it. But it needs the ankle. It needs that round bone, universal logic. Universal logic makes it possible for us to connect one logic to another. Now, you can go only up so high. You are coming up to the thigh now, and it is different from the leg below the knee. So the leg below the knee is all about bones or bone structure. And the thigh is all about bones and muscles. Although down below, the knee has muscles too. But that is not what predominates. What predominate below the knee is the powerful fibula. In fact, the leg is constructed such that really the front part of it, or the shin says bone, when you feel that, the front part of the lower leg, right away you don't think meat, you don't think muscle. You don't think skin. Even you don't think bone. And it goes straight up from the foot. Its performance is supported by the ankle and the round bone. Then when it gets to its limit, it needs to connect to the thigh and the upper quarters. It's got plenty of muscles because actually you need the thigh to bring the structure up so it can rest upon the leg bone. So we said Kaaba, and the ankle is Kaaban. It's being two, like two Kaabas. So when I get to the knee, you don't say Kaaba, but the knee is another connection or another Kaaba. But you don't have to talk about it because the foundation has already been established, and whatever connects above, the ankle is supported by the ankle. So you make other connections going up, but they are all supported by the ankle. So that's the Kaaba. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise. Imam Dr. Miraj speaks Block Talk Radio. So that's the connection that makes it possible for us to graduate this connection, connecting to support even bigger and more important things in this structure. So the last thing to support is the head. The head doesn't have a round bone supporting it except in the base. In the base or the base, it has a swivel. And when you are asleep, it droops. Not all the time, but most of the time when you are sleeping, you nod or it droops because it's a swivel. It's on a round bone. It's the last of the connections because the head has no more connection. And after the head, there is no more to connect with unless it's mysteriously and fiction and lies. So if you go above the head, you have hair. But that's the head, too. It's like if you go above the surface of the earth, you got trees, you got wind, you got all these other things. But science says all of these are in the environment of the earth, can't escape the environment of the earth. So my hair, yes, this is my hair. But this belongs to me or to my head. It tells me something about the possibility for my head. It doesn't represent a possibility for some new entity or imagined thing. No, this is my head. After the head, there is nothing else in the structure. So what is the purpose of the edifying or the construction of this body and this pattern going up from the foot and finishing in the head? And what we call the head, man's evolution, is to establish authority, not just to be in a body, but to have an authority over the body. So man needs government, and he evolved it to find the government that has responded to the whole body and has been set upon the whole body and accepted by the whole body in its position of authority. Wouldn't ever other parts of the body please the crown? So man's destiny is government, isn't it? Yes. So man's destiny is government. But government that will please the whole body, that is representative of all the people. And you are a member in my body, so that's what the scripture says of Jesus Christ. So man wants to establish an authority that will be supported by the whole body. The temple is another way of saying the body. And when you have that kind of authority that is supported by the whole body, and the body says, Semer ne wa etane, I hear and I obey. Isn't that what the body says? If the body had to have a shura for me to drink and do all of these other things, wouldn't we be in trouble? So what is God telling us with this guidance? God is telling us that if we put the right head on the body will perform without setting down, not picking and arguing little points and little petty problems. It won't do that. When the body needs to move and the head says it's time, all parts of the body say, Sem, Semmi, Ne, Wa, Ta, Na. So here is to obey. Once we establish an authority that is pleasing to God, it's going to be pleasing to ourselves, because he leads us to the best condition for ourselves. He knows what condition will satisfy our soul, all of us. He leads us to the best condition that will satisfy us. So pleasing him, striving to get where he wants us to go. So once we are there, we find out that really this is where we had to go for our own pleasure, for our own comfort, for our own fulfillment. So really, it's small of the scholars or thinkers. It's small of us to think that my destiny is all about pleasing God. My destiny is all about establishing myself in my best condition. That's my destiny, what it is all about, establishing myself in my best condition. But I can't do it without God. So if you understand Scripture, God is really outside of our reality. He's outside of our reality, and he is trying to help us see that when I created you, I was finished. But you don't follow the pattern of creation. You get away from it. So when you get away from it, then you can't find help amongst yourselves. And you have to cry out to me. Then I have to put you back on the pattern that I created you for. And you want to see me. You want to meet me because you and my creation aren't big enough for the challenge that I've made for you. I made you to be challenged by your own soul, by your own self, by your own reality. Then I made you to be challenged by the whole world reality. My creation, I made you to be challenged by my creation, and you have nothing, no reference to go to when you need to help or when you need to understand except my creation. And my creation isn't big enough to save you from my creation. So I have created you for a challenge bigger than this reality that I put you in. So when you find me, then you find the spirit and the determination to keep going to your destiny. Now when you get there, you think you're going to find me, oh soul, pleasing and pleased. Now you please me, but I want you to know that you haven't only pleased me, but you are pleased. You are pleasing to me, and you are pleasing inside your soul. Soul has found satisfaction, completion. Now enter you amongst my workers. It says Abd. You know Ibadi means servant, that's workers. So what are servants but workers? The communists knew that. That's why they came up with the workers. Everybody was a worker, big and small, bottom to the top. Everybody in communist ideology was a worker. Enter you amongst my workers. Islam didn't steal from communists. They weren't existing. Communists stole from Islam, from the Quran. Enter you amongst my workers. Now, what's said first is the condition for what's said secondly. Enter you my paradise. So the condition for entering my paradise is that you enter with my workers, not come in by yourself. No. Up here, this is the ground for all my workers, no matter what mama you came from, what nation you come from, what language you speak, that doesn't matter. This is the place for my workers. Eventually, all my workers are going to be here. And it says, enter you my paradise. Look at the word paradise. Jannati. Wakuli fi ibadi enter you amongst or in my workers with my workers. It actually says in them. You have to be in them. You have to be numbered there. That's what it means. You have to be numbered there, although with them, all of you have to be numbered together. Enter you amongst my workers. Enter you my paradise, Geniety. Now, if I would say Geniety so Chicago, keep me in mind, this is just an example of how the Arabic language is used. It has no reference to God at all. It says my paradise is in Chicago. So that's what I just said. Enter you, Wakuli Geniety. Enter you my paradise. And it says Wakuli. It didn't say Wakulu. It didn't say Wakulu. It wasn't addressing a male entity. It is addressing a female entity. Wakuli Geniety. It is addressing a female entity. It's addressing all people as a female entity. So what's coming into the paradise, what's going to make it into the paradise, we are going to make it into the paradise as a community. If we don't make it as a community, we will not enter the paradise. So Geniety refers to community life. And Geniety says, and the work is not over. What do you go in a garden for? It's not a graveyard. It's a garden. Things to interest your intelligence and your stomach. It's saying so much. Philosophically, it is saying that your natural destiny is to fulfill your need to have work, and you should be aspiring to reach a paradise or find a paradise that will have that work for you to do. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Imam Dr. Miraj Speech Block Talk Radio. So what good is an existence if we don't have anything to do but sleep and rest? That would be a dream paradise. If I don't have anything to do, I don't have anything to do when I go to sleep. But in my sleep, I can visualize. I can see myself in a garden with a beautiful wife, or maybe a lot of them, a beautiful, attractive environment, flowers and all kinds of beautiful things and pretty songbirds singing and all that. That's a dream. But when I wake up, I got to go to work and lose my good rest and allow me to dream. If I don't have anything to do, I'm going to have nightmares. Not visions of paradise. Tell you, man, Allah hasn't created anything without a duty to perform. Allah hasn't created anything without a duty to perform. Everything has a duty to perform. They say we look at the piece of material and we think it's still or is at rest, but science says that's no part of it at rest. It is in motion, but its motion is conformed to its concept or its body. But if you study it, the inner workings of this thing, you would see their movement inside of it. Natural and negative and positive charges, electric attractions of all going on there. And the proof is there. Certain experiments you can get. So which we had in our class in high school, where you take a piece of lead and a piece of brass, think it was, and you take them and put them together, these two pieces of flat material, and leave them there. And about a week later, you can take them apart. And the particles from the lead went into the brass, and the particles from the brass went into the lead, which proves that this thing is not at rest. It is moving. It is in motion. It only needed something strong enough to pull it out of its sphere. So everything is in motion, and everything needs rest. But the rest is satisfied, the demand for you to complete your wholeness. So the moon and the earth are not holes sticking out of the solar system. But when you see them in the solar system, where the earth is responding to the gravitational pull of other bodies, namely the sun or it or against it. So when they are all responding to each other in harmony, then you get a whole. If I say the earth is my home, that's, but is that all of it? You have a lamp up there, and there was a ceiling over the earth. There was a lamp up there in the night called the moon, and the lamp in the day called the sun. So if you don't recognize these, then you won't know your reality. You won't know what is really your home. Your home is earth, yes, but your calling is the heavens, and you've got a beautiful illuminating lamp up there, the sun. And your food that you eat depends on the energy from that sun. So how do you find wholeness if you just start with the earth? So you got to connect those things that are in your immediate circumstances or in your immediate environment. The more you connect with things in your immediate environment or circumstance, the more you come into a real appreciation of your identity and the wholeness. And my identity grows because of my accepting to grow into the wholeness. I'm a small guy. If I only see myself belonging to Markham, but the more I extend my awareness to appreciate not only Markham, but Illinois and all those other cities and towns in this state, and then the United States as a whole, and then connect with other states, my awareness is growing. My identity is growing. The value of me as an entity is growing. Then I say, we are this earth. Well, yes, we are this earth. But the bodies outside supports us too. And they support each other. So I extend my vision. I extend my awareness. And pretty soon I become a cosmic person. I become a universal person, a light. In the context of the whole reality for my likeness, and that's where I find peace. That's the ocean. And it says, see how the body in the heavens goes swimming along? Yes, Behun. They swim. So this is the picture they give. Imam, does a swimmer do a, pardon me, Imam, does a swimmer swimming motion? And that's what they are doing. The earth is doing this as I move on its path around the sun to let the atmosphere, not me, pardon me, astronomers know that this was shown to Muhammad, he says, see how the body swim along. But also those who are grounded in mythology or in myth, they believe that the highest heaven or the highest region were water. And they thought that the water connected this lower region with its earth environment with the sky. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise. Imam Dr. Mirage speaks Block Talk Radio. The environment of with the heaven. So they believe that it was a water connection. Their leaders gave this simple picture to common people. But they had a truer perception of reality. But they were given to the common people in myths and mythology, concepts, So they were talking about not the real environment, their environment. They were talking about the soul of the human being. They saw the whole creation as the soul. The whole universe is one soul, or picture of one soul. And this one soul has two different kinds of water. In the common people, it's common sensitivity. In the higher people up in the heavens, it's sensibility. So it's sensitivity led by intelligence. That's sensibility. So my feeling led by intelligence, so that sensibility, Allah said, can you see that the heavens and the earth were once connected? They were once one continuous whole before they were separated? Who separated it? The leaders on earth, addressing the reality for the human soul. The leaders on the earth separated it and said the people in the lower region or on the earth, they are sensitive creatures. But those in the higher region, their sensitivity have become their intelligence and their ability to rise high above the common people, sensibility. So that's the separation of the two waters. Tropical behavior in the sensitivity of the common people is just to feel and respond. But in the higher people feel and think, that's intelligent leading their feeling, feel and think. And because they were able to do both, to both feel and think, they thought themselves in situations high above the common masses. And they rule you from distance that you cannot reach. And God has made the physical man to reflect the beauty of the spiritual man, the human soul. So you look up there and you see it's bedecked with jewels, sparkling like diamonds in the night. And he says, and on that day he is going to gather also those in the heavens. So this is the Quran. Yes, those that are in the heavens shall be gathered. Some people may think, well, I thought only the people on earth were going to be gathered for judgment. No, there are more of them up there. And they are the big actors. They got more sin up there. And one third. Then you got down here and all the garments you've made. See, down here you got fish swimming around in the water. Up there you got big-headed material masses. They are in water too. They think they are on solid ground, but they are not. They are swimming too. Isn't that reality? Sensitivity is the fish that has the typical behavior in the water. Random movement, no defined movement, whatever attracts it, that's where it goes. The fish that the wise man wanted to show Moses escaped them, and the Quran said it was the fish that traveled straight as though in a channel. So that sensibility, that isn't sensitivity. Sensitivity, that's our public. They left their leaders who were leading them in a channel, who had channeled the way to the heaven and were leading them in a straight line or in a defined direction for a purpose and a conclusion. They left their African-American leaders up from slavery, and they are all going out on their own. Now, we are nothing but a bunch of fish. We are like little sun perches in the fishbowl, and the commercial man giving us a little treat every now and then. So this reality is beautiful. And to show you our people were not small-minded, Marcus Garvey said one day, people would rise up and take their place amongst the galaxies of stars in the heavens. That man had insight. He was on the money. He knew that this world had something over our head, and that heaven wasn't all about this thing that we are falling out in the church over. He knew that. For the common people, it's an exercise, an emotion. But for the knowledgeable people, it's just a higher reality for us in this reality that we are in already. So those big controllers of wealth and big planners of the future of those different human groups down here on this earth, they are the ones who got mansions in the sky, and they travel with the stars. They have their organization, but they are so big in comparison to ours, light years away from our perception of all reality. And light years could be 2 inches by our calculation down here. But I have to be in a travel for ions of time to get from here to inches way away to the reality I'm trying to reach. See how the dimensions change because of the mental state? You can't describe it like the across the street. You got to travel for light years to reach that conclusion. Light years, not dark years. And look at it, and look at years. Just take the Y off, light years. Years that light has come into light, come into the hearing. So no matter what man does with the physical reality that God gave us, he can't do anything but keep complementing the pattern and glorifying the God that did it, even though he rejects that the God. What he does still glorify God. The original that God did glorify God. So you can try to do anything you want with it. You can take it backwards, forward, sideways, whatever you want to do, crooked. But everything you do is going to glorify the same God because all your possibilities are within his scheme. Brother Imam, there is a hairstyle for the women. They put their hair in 3 braids. I know there is a logic to that, but I just don't know what it is. Imam, these different hairstyles, they have meanings in culture, concepts. They are part of a culture, and the culture speaks of the wisdom that God has given them. Man always ties what he does to the reality that God put him in. So that's the world that he is making also bears witness to the reality that God put him in. And like I said, even if he doesn't do that with a conscience, God says everything in the heavens and the earth glorifies God. So he didn't leave it out anything. So that means that the serpent, the snake, the trees, everything glorifies God. So the Satan says, respite me, meaning don't execute judgment on me now in the eyes of my subjects. He didn't want to be shown up in the eyes of his subjects. He said, respite me until the dead that they are raised. And that means leave me to be free to do my thing until the day that they are raised. They, who are they? The people, mankind, because the only figures in the picture are God's angels, the Satan or the jinn and man. So these are the ones that are in the picture. So respite me until the day they are raised. I told you I am working against this man, this human. So respite me until the day that these people, respite me respite me until the day of these people that you have put over me to have the responsibility in the earth over me. Please don't uncover me or shame me in their eyes or in their presence. Let me remain hidden until the day they are raised. So Satan acknowledges resurrection. Let me be until the day they are raised. Then Allah revealed the Quran to Muhammad, the prophet. And in the Quran it says, and this is the resurrection. But they perceive it not. The call to worship in Islam is the call to life. It says, Hayya, become alive, come into life, or become yourself, live high, living higher, meaning become yourself a living thing upon the pattern revealed by God. As-salat. And as-salati. Salati is the pattern revealed by God for our reality. He's higher as-salat. Come you trusting prayer, yes. But the deeper meaning is come conforming to the pattern created for you in the beginning of creation. Come conforming to that pattern. And he says, and everything knows its modes of prayer. That's in the Quran. So see this as we see it, as the believers see it. That is the first step. And that is good, and we have to hold on to that. We have to hold on to the fact that this is a call to worship in Islam, prayer in Islam. But then we have to be able to read deeper and see much further. Everything knows its modes of prayer. And the word for it is Salat. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise. Imam Dr. Maraj speaks Block Talk Radio. It is the same word that we use, everything knows its salat. So why are we praying? We are praying because we believe that if we conform to God's will, for us, we will survive the world, the Satan, and all the trouble that makes me feel bad. We keep this ritual or this practice because we believe that we will be able to survive by hearing the word and responding to it. Do you know that every time we make a sajda, we are not making a sajda only to the Kaaba? We are making a sajda to the word of God. That's what we are reciting, isn't it? Isn't that what we give us our indication when it is time for ruku? And when it is time to get down on your knees and put your head to the floor, is his words demanding that of us, isn't it? So actually we are conforming to the will and the instructions of God. And where do his instructions take us? It finds us already upright. You don't come to prayer starting on your knees. You don't come to prayer crawling. You don't come and you don't say Allahu Akbar and begin your prayer on your knees. Begin your prayer in an upright position, standing up straight. That's to say my natural creation stood you up that like that. Don't you come to me acting like I didn't give you some help before I spoke to you. So come like I raised you up in matter, standing erect with your head on your shoulders and glorify me. There first, don't go backwards. I already brought you this far before I spoke to you. You didn't even know my existence. I made my creation to lift you up, stand you up like that. So come to me showing your appreciation, or you appreciate me. Show me what I did for you. I stood you up and the prophet and the seers. And the Bible says the one that they discovered, the God that they discovered behind all things, they say he even dressed the old poor raven bird. He stood him up on his 2 feet, put feathers on him, and dress coat of feathers too, and gave him skills to fly the air, fly in the open firmament. And the seer said, the one who did that, he can lift me up out of this trouble I'm in. He can dress me up and make it possible for me to ride upon the air, the breath of the air. So our prayers is really pointing to that that was evolving by nature. It's a behavior that is universal for all people, and the behavior was evolved upon the natural creation. And those who say that to them, they are just lying. God didn't speak to you. You just followed the best urging within your own soul and nature. You were responding to the challenge in your environment, and it brought you to make progress to this position you have reached, where you have intelligence, social order. You have laws and orders, and you have managed all that upon my creation. So therefore, I speak to you, and I say, come to the original state, Deen al-Fitra, Tilaati Fatirin Nasiha Aleha, the religion of the original pattern upon which I pattern all people. Fatira Nasiha Aleha, pattern all people upon it. So just like I said, once you accept that, you are a homo erectus. You are not bending over like a four-legged walker. No. You are standing up 2 feet, and there aren't many who stand up like that with you, the ones that hold that position, the best of the birds. Not even the apes hold that position as easy as the birds. So now I stand you up, and I want you to not shame me and show me that you don't appreciate what I did for you by getting down on your knees and saying, oh, Lord, no, stand up on your feet. Stand up on your 2 feet in the dignified position, representing your achievement as a life that is in my matter, that I created you for. I created for you. And then glorify me. You are ready to go further. You are ready for me to lift you up higher. Then glorify me in that position. Allahu Akbar. Now recite my words, not yours. Then you start reciting the words of God. And after you finish Al-Fatiha, and you don't have to do a small chapter from the Quran with Al-Fatiha. In fact, you don't even have to do that whole Al-Fatiha. If you just say in God's name and recognize that he gave you your first comfort of Rahman, and that he gave you your second comfort, life redeemed, a redeemer, then if you praise him, give him perfect praise, and recognize that you are worthy of praise, and you have been earning some praise, but put Al before it and say, Alhamdu. The praise which includes all that I've earned is due to you, my Lord, Lord of all the worlds. Then once you finish that, you can say Allahu Akbar and go down to Ruku. So this is the Farad of the Salat for Al-Fatiha. Then you come up, Sami Allahu Lamin Hamida. You didn't say, I hope our God will hear me or hear my praise. No, you said he already heard it. Sami Allahu Lamin Hamida. It doesn't say God hears, even though they translated like that. It doesn't say God hears. It didn't say God heard it. It says God has heard already. That's what it means. Semi-an. God has heard whoever praises him, not just me in this prayer at this moment. Whoever has praised him since the creation of the earth, whoever has praised him, he has already heard them. If he hadn't heard them, I wouldn't be here to call on him. I wouldn't have been finished a long time ago. I wouldn't even be here. So God here, whoever has praised him, time in the history of man, or any period of time, he hears them all going back to the first till now. Whoever praises him, David praised him, yes. But before David, whoever has praised him, he has heard them. That's exactly what it means. So isn't that strength for our faith and confidence that I am not hoping that God hears my prayers and heard me praise him? I know that he has heard everyone before me in times gone back. To the beginning of time, he has heard everyone who praises him, and I am just another one. It isn't any big deal for him to hear me. He has heard every soul that cried out to him, especially when it came up honorable and innocent and recognized him and was not coming with selfish motives to promote their own interests. The average person worships God to promote their own interest, and he accepts their prayer. Isn't that wonderful? Look how wonderful he is. He knows that they are liars, and they are crooks, and they are self-deluded. They don't even know they are praying lies. He receives them, and he blesses them for their good intentions and helps them because they need help and cannot find help inside themselves. It has to come from outside. So he helps them and bless them and strengthen them so that they can grow and profit. And one day we reach that stage where we say, I have got to repent. I've got to confess to make a confession. My whole life has been a lie. Brother Imam, so some people are able to do things and not know that they don't have good intentions. Yes, sir. They don't know that. They are taking and not giving. They don't know that. Abraham, he is the perfect man as leader, as a picture of the type that God wants to lead all people. Abraham said, I have turned my whole self to you. And the self is faith, because the faith is what registers what's inside. It registers the whole person. If you are sad, if you are happy, if you are deceitful, it registers all in the faith. Although other parts of the body can show it sometimes, but not like the face. The face is the mirror or the reflector for all that is in the person. So it says, I have turned my face, meaning I have turned my whole self. That's why it's translated sometimes as my face. Literally, it says, Jolly, I have turned my face to you. But they translated, surely I've turned myself to you. And some translators, surely I've turned my whole self to you. And that's exactly what it means. And what does that mean? That the true achievements or the accomplishments for the soul on this planet Earth is to its perfection or in its path to its destiny, is to discover its hidden interests and recognize that I thought I was doing this for God, but I was doing that for myself. But now that I really currently understand the reality of God and know that the reality that God has established for me a human person. I don't come that way anymore. I don't have one face for this prayer and another face for my interests in the world. My face for this prayer is the same face that I have when people see me in the world. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. We will continue this tomorrow, inshallah. It only means that it pleased God. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Imam Dr. Miraj speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.